Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations, like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey guys, Bobby Bones here. We're back with another Sunday Sampler episode, highlights from five podcasts on the Nashville Podcast Network. So let's go. This week on Four Things with Amy Brown, Amy talked with content creator, comedian, and TikTok star Danae Hayes about turning her childhood anxiety into confidence and comedy. You can hear Lunchbox's trip to the casino in North Dakota as part of Sore Losers. And I sat down with Thomas Rhett. We basically had a small therapy session. And let's start it off with that. Here is a clip from the Bobbycast with Thomas Rhett. If you were to get on your TikTok, what do you see on yours because of what you're looking at?
Can I be very honest with you?
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather you not lie, unless it's a really good lie.
I haven't been on social media since January.
Oh, that's great. That's even weirder and better than what you would have said.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'd rather go down that road.
Yeah. It was getting to a point where, I mean, it sounds super cliche to say it, but it was just taking up so much of my time. You know what I mean? And I was finding so much of my worth in a post. And like, especially since all the algorithm stuff changed, you started to be like, man, like I used to post videos and they'd get like a million views, no doubt. And then you start to see this thing of like, okay, my views are starting to go down. Does that mean that I am starting to suck more? You know what I'm saying? Like that's what my brain would tell me.
I think
it's probably everybody.
For a creative, I think that is absolutely fair.
And so, you know, then you would like put songs out and then some people would think they were really cool and then some people would just hate on them. And then you start to see all the people in our genre, the bloggers just be like, this is terrible. This is trash Thomas Rhett music. This is not what he's best at. All these kind of things. And so then you start making music out of fear. One of my producers named Julian said, you can't work out of hit desperation. You have to work out of hit inspiration. And I think for a while there, dude, I was working out of hit desperation because I was so terrified of what this genre would think about what I thought was cool that it got to a point where I just wanted to write what I think they think would be cool.
And there's a lot of predicting going on.
A lot of predicting of being like, well, maybe if I write songs that sort of feel like a Luke Combs thing, then these people will kind of think I'm like, okay again. You know what I'm saying? And maybe if I can do some of this stuff that like Morgan is doing, then maybe this group will think that maybe I can fit into that group. But I didn't like get here by ever fitting into a group.
You actually did the opposite.
I did the complete opposite. And so I started to really not be myself anymore. Just kind of lame to write with, honestly. Just vanilla, straight down the middle stuff.
Okay, what was the bottom for you that made you go, I got to get off. I have to, because something had to happen for you to go, I got to make a change in my life.
Yeah, dude, it was around Christmas time last year. And like, I kind of go into weird places when I'm off the road because this feels like a therapy. Are all your podcasts like therapy sessions like
this? Hey, buddy, I am who I am.
Okay.
I go to a lot of therapy myself. Yeah, so,
same,
you know, maybe.
Same. But when I'm off the road is a really challenging time for me because when you're on the road, you're getting three straight nights of like dopamine affirmation
celebration hits. Yes. Love. However you're. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then you come home and I love my children and I love my wife. It is the complete opposite. It's like retractable dopamine, if that makes any sense.
I mean, I will leave a stage being told I'm the funniest person in the whole world by a couple thousand people. Right. Ha, ha, ha. And then my wife's like, you did not take out the trash. And she loves me more than they ever will.
For sure.
But you're right.
Yeah.
The dopamine, it is not. And you just feel, it's a different kind of loneliness.
No doubt. Yeah. So, you know, I was off the road. Been off the road for like 2 or 3 months and just constantly in my freaking phone. You know what I mean? Like, my kids are like literally asking me questions upon questions. I'm literally just, I'm not even hearing them because I'm just here. And so, yeah, it was like January 1st. It was like one of my like New Year's, you know, resolution type things that I thought would last for like 2 weeks because I've never really fully quit social media. And then, yeah, January, man, I haven't even seen an app since January. So I hired a team. I mean, everything that we post is from me. It's just that I'm not physically on scrolling, looking at the comments, doing the stuff.
Well, I got a message from you the other day. I sent you a bunch of Apple gift cards because you said I needed to send you that.
Oh my gosh.
You were like, I need Apple gift cards and Bitcoin. So I sent you
that. Oh, good.
That.
So you sent them to me?
Yeah, yeah. So you should have that.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't you?
That was not me.
Oh, son of a gun. I got scammed again. Golly. Yeah. Good self-awareness. I think we all know.
Yeah.
I have a friend. You know him too. He's one of my best friends. I won't say his name here, but he locks his apps up. He has a, it's not Dirk's, but Dirk's also does this, but he goes to a flip phone.
Mm-hmm.
At different times during the month when he's starting to feel a little anxious. And then when he's not and he's on his smartphone, there is an app. Oh, I don't care. Hey, get on it.
I don't even know how to turn
this thing down. It's Twitter.
Yeah. It's a
Twitter's
baby
yelling
monitor
at you.
Notification.
Don't forget me. He has an app that locks all of his social media up at like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And you can't get off. You can't get on it unless you have the code. The only person who has his code is his manager.
Gotcha.
And so he
Delete it off my phone every day and then just re-download it.
I would do that and then then get on the internet on my computer.
Yeah.
And then do like the browser version. I'd be like, well, I'm kind of, I have a weird relationship with social media, but I think that self-awareness is like, that's extremely valuable that you found that. Yeah. Do you think you'll ever go back?
Probably at some point in time. And I've quit a couple things this year I quit nicotine this year, which I love nicotine so much.
Never had it. What's good about it? Get me started. Like, sell me on it.
I don't know. I mean, I started dipping when I was like, 18 years old, Grizzly Wintergreen. And then when I turned like 28, I started using this stuff called Zen.
Is that in the packs? Or
what? Yeah. It's like just nicotine and mint. And like, it kind of just became, I'm trying to quit things that are crutches for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, social media was a crutch. It was the place where I went, where I needed validation. But then it was the place that I hated when it didn't validate me. You know what I'm saying?
Polar.
And so nicotine was kind of like that crutch for me. It was just like when I felt nervous, nicotine. When I felt weird, nicotine. When I felt happy, nicotine. It was like always just a thing. And so, I mean, I haven't been off of it that long, but it's been 3 weeks, which is the longest I've ever gone.
Up, roll things, little food for your soul, man. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things, tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
That's when Zoloft came into play, is I needed something to, in other words, maybe numb some of those obsessive thoughts. So I do think a lot of my creativity stems from trauma. I think if you talk to any comedian, I think there's some form of trauma in that lineage. And that's kind of the messed up thing about it, is I think in order to really be funny, sometimes you have to equal the scales and you have to have trauma to equal that out. I can only really think of one comedian that doesn't have some form of trauma, and that's Adam Sandler. And he talks about it. He's like, I'm a rare bird in this business. I'm one of the only comedians that doesn't have some form of craziness that's happened to him to make me funny.
Do you know Trey Kennedy?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was on the podcast last month, and he's like Adam Sandler, a rare comedian whose humor didn't come from a sad place. But gosh, I'm still thinking about Zoloft at 11 years old. I mean, what happened with your personality, your creativity? I don't know. Did any of that change? Did you feel it change?
Yeah. I mean, it goes from being this loud, goofy, center of attention kid that is so joyful and goofy to she starts becoming crippled with obsessive compulsive disorder. And then at that point, it's almost like a trade-off. Like, would you rather be crippled with OCD or would you rather some sort of medication be able to numb your brain just enough to where you don't have to touch the doorknob 17 times? So I think for myself and for my parents, I mean, I can't speak for them now, but I think for myself, it's like, had my mom and my dad just said, you know what? You're 10, you're 11. Let's not worry about who you find cute and who's attractive. Why don't we just keep an open line of communication? And until you're old enough to start dating somebody where you can put those thoughts into action, let's at least make sure there's an open line of communication. And I will say, my dad, there's always been that open line of communication there. And he's now expressed to me, sobbing, how upset he was that he allowed that to happen to me. And him and I've had so many open conversations now about how he just didn't want me to be the loner kid in high school where everybody knew I was different and I was gay in a small southern town in Alabama. He was like, I just wanted selfishly to keep that a secret until you could go to college and be around people that were more open-minded. And he goes, I feel so flawed now in the way that I'm thinking, but that's where my mind was at in 2003 in the deep south of Alabama. But like, my mother is still very rigid on those beliefs. I haven't spoke to her in 7 years now because since Mandy and I, my wife now, have been together, she's been very rigid in using the ideology that you can't be gay and also be a Christian. Mm. So she's stuck with that. My parents are divorced now, but
I was about to ask.
Yeah, okay. She's stuck with that mindset and she hasn't swayed from it. My dad, on the other hand, is like, if he could go back this second, he would go back and not allow me to go through that. But there's this story that I always tell because I think it shows a depiction of the marriage that they were in while they were having a child that was dealing with that. The first time they took me to a psychiatrist, they had done their research and they had taken me to this man, and he had this frizzy curly hair. It was kind of like all over the place and he was dressed really casually, and we sat on his couch in his office, and he was like, well, Danae, why aren't you telling me why you think you're here? And I said, well, I think I'm here because I touch the doorknob a lot and I obsess over thoughts and I wake my parents up in the middle of the night to apologize for my thoughts, like things I hadn't even told them about I was apologizing for. That's how bad it was. And he goes, okay, well, I'm going to ask your parents to go outside for a second and you and I are going to continue this conversation. So they left and he goes, why do you think you touch the doorknob so many times? And I said, I'm just always nervous. And he goes, what are you nervous about? And I said, well, I'm just nervous that I'm thinking about things I shouldn't think about. And he goes, well, what are you thinking about? And he just dissected it one question at a time. And I was like, oof, I'm going to have to say it. I'm going to have to tell somebody other than my parents. And I go, well, I'm nervous that liking girls is wrong. And that man looked at me and he goes, what's so wrong about that? And I just stared at this guy like, all right, is this a trick question? And he goes, it doesn't matter who you like, Danae. He goes, you're just a little kid. And I remember I got back in the car with my parents. We were headed to go to Arby's to get something to eat. Good old Arby's.
Of course.
And my dad was driving. Ooh. My mom propped her arm up on the passenger chair and she swiveled and she looked at me in the back seat and she goes, well, Danae, what did he say? And I was so overjoyed about getting relief that I said, he said there's nothing wrong with who you like. You can like girls or boys. And my mom hauled off and punched my dad in his arm and said, I thought you booked a Christian counselor. And then the entire energy shifted in the car. So from that moment forward, I realized that I had developed a belief that you can't like God and trust God and also like girls if you're a girl. A week later, they took me to the psychologist that specialized in homosexuality. And that was the guy who instilled in me every single time I saw him was, it's not a sin to think about robbing the bank. You can think all you want, Danae, but it is a sin to rob the bank. So we would go over things like that every day or every time that I saw him. And that was the guy who put me on Zoloft. But I could see it in that moment. My dad was doing his best to live in a happy marriage while also not trying to upset his wife, while also trying to protect his kid. And it was, I know it was hard for him because my mother's beliefs were so rigid, which is why, you know, they're obviously not married anymore.
Yeah, that'll make things hard.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay them. You know, somebody did, but St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Okay, if you're in Target Circle, then you already know what I'm talking about. And if you're not, you don't. However, this is for everybody. Because the all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. And again, if you're already a member, I'm going to break some news to you. Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. That means, boom, you're automatically going. Now, there's Target Circle 360, so unlimited same-day delivery. Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door, well, or to someone else's door too. And right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Now, if you've already been using Target Circle, you know how amazing this is. So you can upgrade to Target Circle 360, or you get an automatic upgrade whenever it's like, you know, now it's automatically applied, which is super cool. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
So adult life can start with a lot of financial ups and downs. And it can seem like a lot more downs than ups at first. You know, people can make mistakes and buy things that they can't afford sometimes. And then that's where Intuit comes into play. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products from Intuit. Products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Taking finances into your own hands can help turn things around, even helping save money to rent a first apartment or a home. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. So whether you're trying to manage your money or you're trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so that you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com. That's Intuit.com to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Let's do it live.
We are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What up, y'all? It is Sizzin. I'm from the north. I'm an alpha male. I live on the west side of Nashville with Baser, my wife. We do have a white picket fence at the apartment complex. Soon I'm going to have 2.5 kids. And yes, sadly, I will die of a heart attack when I'm 72 years old. Here's a clip from the last podcast.
So we go. We go to Benihana. Oh, yeah. Can we get in for two? Do you have a reservation? No. Okay. It'll be about 15 minutes.
Congratulations. Cool. On the engagement.
All right. So we sit back. We're sitting there. 15 minutes comes. Nothing.
These guys think we're together.
25 minutes, nothing.
You got to get the hell out. Another high worker.
32 minutes. Your table is ready.
Yeah, so, 32 minutes too late.
So now we have an hour and 8 minutes until we have to be back at the airport if we want to be back in time for boarding.
Get out.
And so we sit there.
And we're all around the hibachi grill. There's another husband, wife, their kid, and then
so three husbands.
And then a married couple.
And you and Kevin, four husbands.
No. Just a husband and wife, their kid, another husband and wife, and then Kevin and I. So there's...
How long have you guys been dating?
We're not.
Oh, four husbands. I see what you did there. Got it. Never mind. Got it. So we're sitting there.
I'm happily married.
Sitting there.
I'm not cheating.
And it's about 9 minutes.
Tall man with tattoos.
10 minutes. And Kevin started getting nervous. He's starting to rock back and forth. And he's like, dude, I think we got to bail.
Can you imagine me?
Oh, no. You would have never left the airport. You wouldn't have left the airport. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, I think we're good. I mean, as long as they take our order any minute now, you know. And then it's like 14 minutes. And I'm like, I'm going to go ask the hostess how long it takes for them to cook the hibachi.
I'm sure they got a real number on that one.
And
usually it's seat of my pants.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, go ask her. And he comes back and he goes, we got to go. I said, what's wrong? He goes, the hibachi experience is 1 hour, 30 minutes.
That's 22 minutes longer than 1 minute and 8 seconds. Minutes.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that means we would be missing our flight. So let's go. So we went across the hall to Crave.
Did you pay for anything?
No, we didn't even get to order anything.
Another hack. So you can go sit at a Benihana table for free.
For free. Absolute free, dude. If you guys ever want to do hibachi, just walk in, have them seat you around the table, and leave before they take your order. No charge.
Great experience.
You get to see everything you want because you can watch them cook at another hibachi grill. You get the entertainment value. And it's absolutely free.
So you guys are hailing cabs?
No, so we're going over to Crave, which is the restaurant right across the hall, because we got to eat.
You guys are restaurant hopping with an hour left?
Yeah. And we sit down.
I knew the eating was going to be a problem.
And we sit down. No one comes by. No one comes by.
Am I in some sort of joke video? Is this April Fool's?
9 minutes in, Kevin's like, dude, I think we just got to go. I think we got to go back to that Chick-fil-A in the food court. I'm like, dude, we got plenty of time. He's like, I don't even think they know we're here.
Crazy world. Chick-fil-A went third. Usually that's number one.
And he's like, dude, I think we got to go. I'm like, dude, we got plenty of time. And then a guy comes walking by, goes, oh my gosh, so sorry, guys. Didn't know you guys were here.
Yeah, we're customers. We were at your restaurant.
And Kevin's like, I told you. And he was like, oh, let me put this down. I'll come back and, you know, help you out. And he comes back with waters and he asks us if we want something to drink. We order a couple cocktails. And then he's like, you know, I'll give you time to look over the menu. Kevin goes, no, we got to order now. We got a flight to catch and we got to be out of here in 40 minutes.
This trip just got serious.
And he's like, okay. And he's like, you think we can do that? And the guy's like, yeah, no problem. So we order, we eat, no problem. He brings the check. It's time to go. Mall is closed though. Like it is it's past 9 p.m.
Oh.
So where we wanted to exit right outside the Macy's, that's where the Benihana's is, couldn't do it. We had to walk down a little bit and go down one of the main entrances.
Dude.
So we call the Uber. It comes. We get back to the airport. Our flight was at 10:38 and we're there at 10. No problem, right? And we walk in the door and I look to my left and it says security line, less than 5 minutes.
Security, eh?
So we walk down there. And there's two, like,
what do you got, normal cops? They're like Mounties up there, like Canadian police.
No, they got the normal cops. Oh, okay. They got the normal TSA, normal everything.
How's it going, guys? I loved that show, Canadian Border.
But I don't think Minneapolis is on the border, man. I don't think we were near Canada.
You're damn close to Canada, bro.
Oh, is Minneapolis close to Canada?
Yeah.
No idea. No idea. So we get to the security line, right? And there's two guys, like workers, and they're pushing wheelchairs like to take them back wherever behind security. And then there's one behind us, and he's like, excuse me.
Careful, that one NFL player will sit in one and use one for his luggage.
But, oh, God, and then he gets in a fight. That was a good video.
Look it up.
And then he's like, excuse me. I was like, why do you think you're going in front of me, dude? You're not pushing anybody. You just got an empty wheelchair. You know? And I'm like, just standing there. And the two guys walk up, and they get through, and then I walk up, and the guy goes, are you a normal citizen?
Yes, Nashville.
And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, This is the wrong entrance. This is the wrong entrance.
How many people are there?
Five.
I'm sorry.
There's literally the two guys pushing wheelchairs in front of me, a blonde-headed girl that had a suitcase.
Great body.
Kevin, me, and the guy behind me with the wheelchair. So I was like, I didn't know where to go. I'm sorry. He goes, like, you need to go back over there.
Guy
go back
him.
Over there. And he goes, This is the wrong entrance. This is for employees. But it's fine. Move back over there. And he points. And so I move back against the wall where he pointed. Goes, no, not over there. Not over there. Right here.
Why could I not have seen this?
Right here.
Why is this not on video?
And I said, you said, and he goes, right here, not over there. I wanted him to go over there.
Sorry.
And he's talking about the wheelchair guy. He wanted him over there and me over here. And I'm like, okay, like, do I need to go to another? And right here, just stand right here. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll just stand right here. I'm sorry, I didn't know. Do you have your ID? Here's your ID. I'm going. Have a nice flight, man.
And I'm like, bipolar.
Okay, cool. And then
tell him he needs some lithium.
Then we're going through, and the wheelchair guy has a bottle of water. And the TSA is like, hey, man, I need to see that. And he's like, no.
Yeah, 311 rule.
No. It's my water. And he goes, I just need to look at it. And he's like, look at my water? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, just sit right there in your wheelchair. I just got to run a test on it. So the wheelchair guy sits in his own wheelchair that he's pushing to go pick up a customer while they check his water. And Kevin and I get through, and I'm just like, were we on the show punked? Like,
dude, what? Is this Canadian exposure? Where the hell are you guys?
I don't know.
Caroline, she's a queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take a soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
It's Caroline Hobby. This week on Get Real, I talked to Jen Drummond, who is the world record holder. She climbed all the 7 second summits in the world. She's the only woman to do it. We talk about her mind-blowing story, how she survived recovering from a horrific car accident, the timeline of her journey, living life on autopilot. She's a mom to 7 kids. And she says, we don't get to choose how we die, but we do get to choose how we live. Check it out.
You are that woman who has had the absolutely most mind-blowing story that could really, you really had permission. Nobody would have been mad at you if you would have thrown in the towel on your life after you had a massive car accident that I'm sure, I can't even imagine the recovery process, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of it. But you didn't. You did the exact freaking opposite. And I just actually have chills and want to cry thinking about it. And I don't want to even attempt to tell your story. So I would love for everyone listening to get to hear your journey that you have been on.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with the car accident, because the car accident was a line in the sand. Definitely. I was doing life a bit on autopilot.
You were.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I wasn't unhappy. I wouldn't say I was thriving, but I wasn't like struggling.
It was fine.
I was going through the motions, and I kept selling myself on the concept that when my kids are older, I'll come back to me and what sets my heart on fire. But right now, this is my lot in life, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And who even is that person that determines that's supposed to, but myself? But I kind of felt it. I don't know.
You have 7 kids.
I have 7 kids. Exactly. Well, I'm not sitting here. Right.
I have one kid who's 3, and she's consumed my entire existence. You know, it's like you've got 7 existence consumers. So it's like, then you have your own. There's no time for you.
There's no time. Right. So you're just saying that, like, okay, this is the reputable good thing to do. So this is what I'm going to do. Thank you for society for telling me this path. I get into a horrific car accident. December 18, 2018. Yeah, I had to go to Heber, Utah, which is a town nearby, to get a new driver's license because I lost my license while skiing. And when I was driving back, I was looking at the reservoir on the right-hand side of the road. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, I wonder when it's going to freeze over this year, because winter's been kind of late to the party. And even though we have ski at the resort, that's just because they've made all the snow. We don't really have snow other places. And it's global, you know, all the things. Your brain just starts running. And then I pay attention to the road again. And I am coming up extremely fast on a semi pulling a trailer that is going extremely slow. And so I'm looking at this thinking, I have to get in the left lane. So I look in my rearview mirror, I go to get into the left lane. I don't make it. The semi kind of had this trailer pop out a little bit. The corner of my passenger side headlight hits. I go end over end. So I rotate one, two, three times. And then the car starts spinning sideways. I end up in the median. The car stops. I remember thinking, okay, now I'm going to get hit. Now I'm going to get hit by another car. And this is where Hollywood's trained us to expect the car act to keep continuing. And instead, an individual pulls down the windshield because it's all shattered into little pieces. He's like, Are you okay? I look at him, looking at his face. I'm like, I don't think I'm okay if that's what you're looking at me like, but I don't even want to look at myself because I'm too afraid. So I closed my eyes and I wiggled my fingers and toes. And I said out loud, I can feel my fingers and toes, as if saying it twice makes it more real. And he's like, I'm assuming you're okay then? I'm like, I'm okay. I can feel my fingers and toes. So I took an ambulance ride to the hospital. The hospital did a checkup. I was fine. I got released to go home. I did end up going to the hospital a couple more times over the next few weeks because I was fine.
Like zero sense. Fine.
I was fine. The police rebuilt the accident at least 50 different times to see if they could figure out like how it happened and how to make this area safer and blah, 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 blah. And they could not build one scenario where I lived.
And I was, why do you think you lived?
I mean, I think it wasn't my time. Like, I'm a firm believer that we don't get to choose when we die, but we sure get to choose how we live. Ooh. And it was a wake up call to me saying, girl, you need to start living.
Holy shyster. We don't get to choose when we die, but we do get to choose how we live. That is profound. And I feel exactly what you're saying. Like, you had a fine life. You're going through the motions. I feel like so many of us do that. And then you get to the end, you're like, what in the world? I didn't do any of my dreams or passions. I mean, it was all okay and good, but we came here to experience and to live. And I feel like I finally am realizing that, because when you're born into society, I mean, you're on the conveyor belt immediately, you know? Yep. It is really hard to realize, to get out of this whole story we've been told and the whole setup that we're living in as far as a society, which there's a lot of great things, but we're taught that you have to get a job, you have to make money, and that's it, you know? Right.
Yeah, no, totally. And it was just, I mean, it had to be that extreme of an event for me to snap out of my current way of doing things.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Okay, if you're in Target Circle, then you already know what I'm talking about. And if you're not, you don't. However, this is for everybody, because the all new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. And again, if you're already a member, I'm going to break some news to you. Now, when you shop in store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. That means, boom, you're automatically going. Now, there's Target Circle 360. So unlimited same day delivery. Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door, well, or to someone else's door too. And right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Now, if you've already been using Target Circle, you know how amazing this is. So you can upgrade to Target Circle 360, or you get an automatic upgrade whenever it's like, you know, now it's automatically applied, which is super cool. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
So adult life can start with a lot of financial ups and downs, and it can seem like a lot more downs than ups at first. You know, people can make mistakes and buy things that they can't afford sometimes, and then that's where Intuit comes into play. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products from Intuit, products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Taking finances into your own hands can help turn things around, even helping save money to rent a first apartment or a home. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. So whether you're trying to manage your money or you're trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so that you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com. That's Intuit.com to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Hello, it is Mike D from The Bobby Bones Show. This is a clip from my podcast, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast, where I gave my top five summer movies of all time. Check out this episode to hear what movies made my entire list. You can also hear spoiler-free movie reviews. I break down the latest and greatest movie trailers. It's all there for you right now. But here is my number one summer movie of all time. But at number one, the movie I feel embodies summer 100% throughout this entire movie. It is the 1995 now cult comedy co-written by Judd Apatow. It stars Ben Stiller as a maniac fitness instructor who terrorizes a kid's fat camp until the kids overtake the camp. It is Heavyweights. And I feel like you look at this movie now and say they couldn't make this movie today. And I am speaking to you as a former self-proclaimed fat kid. I was overweight my entire life, as far back as I could remember, which caused me to feel like the outcast. I was bullied, picked on, made fun of, and even now as an adult, sometimes I just revert back to that same kid who was in third grade and thinking that, man, life is never really going to get any better than this. I'm always going to be the overweight kid. And it wasn't until I was exposed to this movie where it actually didn't have a whole lot of success in theaters. Disney didn't know what to do with this movie. It was a live action movie that didn't really fit the Disney brand. So they didn't really shelf it, but kind of like what I was saying with Adventureland, they didn't really know how to promote this movie. And Ben Stiller didn't even want to be used in the promotional material for this movie. He asked for his image not to be included in the poster or the trailer. So that was a big hit to this movie. You take your biggest star of the movie and can't use him when selling this movie. The original trailer was a bit of a mess and didn't really give you what this movie was about. And as I was saying, you think, oh, you couldn't make this movie today, but I don't really look at it this way. I don't really think this movie was made with the intention of making fun of overweight kids. And this is coming as somebody who was overweight their entire life until they made the decision to get healthy. And something that I struggle with a lot was, you know, getting made fun of. And a lot of times that happens in movies where the overweight character is the butt of every single joke. And to be completely honest, you get sick of it. You think, why is somebody like me always depicted in that way? Always as the bozo, the one messing things up, and never the hero of the movie. And it wasn't until Heavyweights that I realized, look, we can be cool. We can be the stars of movies. This was the first time I looked at a cast of a film, looked at the poster, and I saw kids that looked like me and were funny. And you were able to see that, oh, they're just regular people, and we should be telling more stories like this. So I don't look at this movie thinking, ah, they were awful for making fun of overweight kids. No, I look at this movie as, yes, we have our movie. we are able to tell our story. We are able to take our stance and be proud of who we are, because the roles are really reversed in heavyweights, where all of these kids are the cool ones and the skinny ones are the losers and the lamos and the jerks. So I am so glad that this movie exists. You can watch it still on Disney Plus. And if there was one summer I could live out from any movie, it would hands down be Heavyweights. And I haven't really seen a movie made like this until, well, I watched Theater Camp this past weekend, and I'll get into my full review during that part of this episode. But this is hands down the best movie to ever take place in the summer. My number one pick goes to Heavyweights. I do have a lot of honorable mentions. Almost sneaking into my top five was The Parent Trap, which is a great movie. I almost put it above Jaws, but I guess since the fact that it was a remake made me think, let's put an original in the top five. But of course, that story takes place because of the switcheroo that happens at summer camp. Also, almost making my top five was We Are the Millers from 2013, which all takes place over the 4th of July weekend. I feel like that's another great comedy that doesn't get enough attention. You also have the Lizzie McGuire movie from 2003, which took place right after they graduated middle school, and it was their summer in Rome. Summer of 2003 was very significant for me because of the Lizzie McGuire movie. I also almost threw a different horror movie in my list. I Know What You Did Last Summer from 1997. So close would have been Independence Day from 1996, one of the best sci-fi action movies of the 90s. You also have movies like Dazed and Confused from 93, My Girl from 91, or even Friday the 13th from 1980. What I really think is lacking from this list is a superhero movie. Which leads me to my next point. I have an idea for a movie about a superhero that gains their powers on the last day of school. I've had a lot of ideas for superhero movies where I feel like people are saying, every superhero movie has been done and it's becoming a little stale. I just think the formula needs to be switched up a little bit, and we need to stop making origin stories that are all completely the same. Trying to build another Avengers, whether it be in the MCU or in DC, we just need to make great solo movies that stand on their own. So my idea for a movie, going along with our theme of the best summer movies, is about a character who gets their powers on the last day of school, and they have been somebody who hasn't had a whole lot of friends, has struggled the entire year, and they look forward to the last day of school because that means, okay, now I just get to spend my time in my room and do what I want and not be bothered by bullies and not have to deal with schoolwork. But then that last day of school, somehow they encounter their superhero powers. And what you always see in superhero movies is somebody discovers their powers and they have that whole time of like, oh, what do I do now? I gotta be a superhero. And eventually they do become a superhero. But I want a story about a reluctant superhero, somebody that gets powers and doesn't want them. They're kind of a nerdier, more introverted person. So what would happen if a person like that got superhero powers and thought, I'm not going to do anything with this. I'm not telling anybody. And I'm also not going to fight crime, because just interacting with people scares the crap out of me. But through the course of this summer, they realize, oh man, it's actually kind of my duty now to do good. And it's them coming out of their shell in a summer, which I think we all did as kids. The summer felt like such a big growing time where people were so different on the last day of school versus the first day of the next year, where somebody's gotten taller, somebody has gone on a specific trip that has changed their perspective on things. And everybody grew so much every summer in middle school and in high school, that I feel like that should be represented through a superhero, somebody who is very nerdy, timid, inside their own thoughts. But then at the end of the summer, they have had all these adventures of becoming a superhero. But as soon as that first day of school hits, they kind of go back into hiding and they're not a superhero anymore until the next summer kicks off and they go back into superhero mode. So that is...
Thanks for listening. A lot of awesome podcasts out this week, so hopefully you heard something here that you want to hear more of. Go subscribe if you can. New episodes are out weekly. Subscribe, rate it, review it. It helps us. The Bobbycast comes out every Tuesday. Four Things with Amy Brown comes out every Thursday, and The Sore Losers have episodes 3 times a week. Also, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast and Get Real with Caroline Hobby both come out on Mondays. All right, have a great week, and we'll see you guys next time. Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.